Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
And welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you by Myers & Associates, serving the Midwest with industrial maintenance products and services. Call them at 515-795-3676. Myers & Associates, keeping your operations running. Welcome to another week of Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. This is Shane Vanderhart, and we got Brian Myers, finally, as he's hacking up along, back in studio. And maybe he will talk to you one day. Are you done coughing? You ready to go?
I think so.
Okay. Nope, not yet.
Sorry.
Oh, no problem. No problem. We're just glad to have you back.
Absolutely. Yeah,
this is a short return. I'm gone next week, too.
You are?
Oh, yeah. Man.
There's probably a whole lot of people out there, of the three people that listen to us, there's probably a whole lot of people out there that are happy to hear I'm going to be gone again.
Oh, man. We're going to miss you. Let's see, what you doing next weekend?
Next weekend, I will be in Rhode Island at a church committee meeting.
You got these church things going on. First, it was the continuing Church of Scotland or Free Church of Scotland meeting.
Actually, this meeting will be as well.
Oh, it's another Free Church of Scotland continuing?
What it is, it's a church relations committee because there's merger talks between the two bodies. So the Free Church of Scotland continuing and the Presbyterian Reformed Church. We'll have representatives at this meeting in Rhode Island to talk about the possibility. That's about all we're doing right now is just working through the possibility here of organic union. Pretty exciting, actually.
Well, I think it's possible that we could get together, but I'm not sure. What do you guys think? Hey, well, we think it's possible.
Well, this is kind of like
a courtship. Okay?
This is the North American Presbytery of the Church of Scotland or Free Church of Scotland continue.
That's it.
So you guys, I'm just kind of curious, would you become the Free Church of Scotland continuing or would they become the Presbyterian Reformed?
Well, that's actually a serious question. There's a couple of different ways this could go. The merger could be we join them or they join us, or we could come together as a new third entity. So
interesting.
Yeah. I have a suspicion this is going to take a while.
Okay.
Get everything all worked out, assuming it even, comes to fruition. So,
and in other news, Iowa hopefully will become bowl eligible this weekend because they're playing Kennesaw State. I've not even heard of Kennesaw State. I couldn't tell you where they're located. And I'm actually shocked to see a team
in Kennesaw, maybe.
Kennesaw. I don't know what state. I have no idea. I'm going to have to find that out. Probably should have looked before we started recording. Yeah. But I was playing them and at 8:30, so it's a night game, a rare night game for them. So it will be interesting to see. They hopefully will win because that would be just shameful because I think the rest of the season might be pretty brutal. Well, they got Michigan next weekend.
Well, and then the Clones play Kansas. So the Clones actually have an opportunity for a win.
2-1-8 teams go head-to-head.
So the Clones may win and the Hawks may win on the same day. That would be awesome this year.
That would be, yeah. And then, of course,
most of us Clone fans are just waiting for basketball season to start.
I bet. I have a feeling Iowa State is actually favored in this game. Because I think Iowa State's definitely a better 1-8 team than Kansas is a 1-8 team. Because the Clones have actually played
pretty tough.
They play the first three quarters pretty well. The fourth quarter.
And the wheels come
they
off.
They need to learn how to finish well. So, anyway.
Thank you. Thank you very much, everybody. Sorry to keep you waiting. Complicated business. Complicated. Thank you very much. I've just received a call from Secretary Clinton. She congratulated us, it's about us, on our victory. And I congratulated her and her family on a very, very hard-fought campaign. I mean, she fought very hard. Hillary has worked very long and very hard over a long period of time, and we owe her a major debt of gratitude for her service to our country. I mean that very sincerely. Now it's time for America to bind the wounds of division. We have to get together. To all Republicans and Democrats and independents across this nation, I say it is time for us to come together as one united people. It's time.
Donald Trump will be our 45th president of the United States. President-elect Trump. I had to say that a few times Tuesday night.
No, I agree.
And early Wednesday morning, just to wrap my mind around it.
Same thing. I remember I sent out a tweet, a rare tweet from Brian Myers went out late that night talking about it could be, it might be, President Trump? Seriously? Yeah. I mean, it's still kind of like an odd dream, a very weird dream.
Yeah, yeah. And, of course, Hillary Clinton gave her concession speech, which let's go ahead and listen to a little bit of that, clip two.
Last night, I congratulated Donald Trump and offered to work with him on behalf of our country. I hope that he will be a successful president for all Americans. This is not the outcome we wanted or we worked so hard for, and I'm sorry that we did not win this election for the values we share and the vision we hold for our country. But I feel pride and gratitude for this wonderful campaign that we built together, this vast, diverse, creative, unruly, energized campaign. You represent the best of America, and being your candidate has been one of the greatest honors of my life.
So, what happened? Well, first of all, I have to do a mea culpa. My prediction map that I issued on election day was wrong. I got North Carolina right. I got New Hampshire right. Well, kind of. New Hampshire still hasn't yet been called, at least as the last time I checked, and this is Friday morning recording. But it looks like Hillary Clinton will win New Hampshire.
Your big mistake was Florida.
But big mistake was Florida.
That's the only really big mistake you made.
Well, and looking at, people like to say that the polls are, see, the polls are skewed. Here's the thing. No, they weren't skewed. Because for one thing, you got to stop just cherry picking polls. You have to look at an average of polls to see where, you know, state of a race is at. Nationally, it was pretty much dead even. And where are we at with the popular vote? Pretty much as this is about as close as a general election can get. And it looks like Hillary Clinton, I know there's some votes still coming in and votes still need to be yet certified. So the vote count will change. I waited on the vote on voter turnout, probably a little prematurely the other day. Trump could end up pulling ahead of popular vote, but right now Hillary Clinton's actually ahead in the with the popular vote. But I mean, it's like 47.47% to 47.4%. I mean, is that close?
And that should not surprise anybody. I mean, when you've got California and New York weighing so heavily in the popular vote.
Well, right. Yeah, and my comment, yeah. So I'm not saying that she, you know, should have won, because I believe I don't really pay a whole lot of attention to the popular count. I actually, election day, I didn't even look at the popular count until after the race was called for Donald Trump, just to see where it was at, because the Electoral College is what matters.
Mm-hmm.
And because we live in a republic, and you don't want population centers dictating who the president is all the time.
Bingo.
So, you know, he won a vast majority of states. Electorally, this was not that close of a race. He definitely won far more states than she did. And if you want to be president of the United States, you can't just be president of New England and New York City and California
and Oregon and Washington.
You have to make inroads in other states as well, in Illinois. So Trump, you know, some interesting things happened. So anyway, looking at my map, you know, looking at the polling, the problem with Michigan, nobody in Michigan right now, Trump's got a slight lead, at least last I checked, and may end up, you know, winning Michigan as well. Michigan had not done any polling since prior to the weekend, and it looked like he was surging then, but honestly, I didn't think he was going to be able to pull it off, you know, off entirely.
Well, nobody else did.
Nobody
though,
did,
Shane.
Too.
I mean,
yeah,
nobody
but,
saw that
but,
coming.
But I've got to get it right, Brian.
Well, whatever. Look, at the end,
Pennsylvania,
of the, at the end of the day,
I knew it was going to be close, but I still thought she was going to pulling it out.
Look, at the end of the day, I remember a couple of weeks ago, everybody was absolutely hysteric in the media. I mean, and what I mean by that is they were laughing because Trump was working the Rust Belt really hard. He was going to Wisconsin.
Right.
He was going to Michigan. And they were thinking to themselves, this guy's going to get shellacked. What's he doing? Wasting his time and his resources.
Right.
Going into Clinton country.
And,
well, he knew something that they clearly didn't.
Yeah, and I never thought he was going to get shellacked in Pennsylvania or Michigan or even Wisconsin. Because, you know, Wisconsin's been trending red for the last few years. I mean, for crying out loud, they got a Republican governor. They have a Republican majority legislature. It's not totally unrealistic to think that you could win the presidential race there, too, I would say.
Well, they assumed that their stronghold of Madison, you know, was going to carry them through. I mean, they viewed that as a blue state. I mean, in their pocket. And it was the kind of thing where... when it looked the other night like they might lose Florida, the word was, well, we can afford to lose Florida because after all we've got these other states in,
right,
in the big blue wall.
Yeah.
And
hey,
so much for that.
You're listening to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, and we're talking about something that we would have never guessed we'd be saying, you know, a year ago. President-elect Donald Trump.
I'm still shocked.
So anyway,
still shocked.
Hillary Clinton did not keep Obama's base. Most significantly, she received less votes from women than President Obama did. Looking at exit polling, she received 54%. Obama received 55% of the women vote and 56% in 2008. She received 5% less of the black vote than President Obama received in 2012, and 7% less than he received in 2008, which she still overwhelmingly won the black vote. But this is her base that she has to maintain if she's going to win an election. She also received 6% less among Latinos, 65%, than Obama did in 2012, 71%. Here's the thing, too, to keep in mind. You know, Florida, they had an increase of Latino voters, and which led me to believe, and I should have actually known better having lived in Florida for a while, 33% of those Latinos actually voted for Trump. And the thing you have to bear in mind is Cubans tend to be definitely more conservative than some of the other Latinos.
They're anti-Castro, generally speaking, identify more with the Republican Party.
Yeah, definitely. So... among 18 and 29-year-olds, she received 5% less, 55% of the vote, than President Obama did in 2012, 60%, and 11% less than in 2008, 66%, from 18 to 29-year-olds. That's actually encouraging. That shows me that maybe Republicans can start, maybe things are not as dismal among millennials as we.
Well, either that.
Maybe not.
Either that, or that's the Bernie Sanders effect with a number of those millennials that said, we love Bernie, we don't like Mrs. Clinton.
We're staying home, yep.
Look, we had talked about this a number of times over the last several months. I know I was certainly skeptical that Mrs. Clinton could maintain that 2008 or 2012 turnout model. I just did not see it happening. The excitement and enthusiasm that the Democrat Party had for Barack Obama, I just did not see that was possible for Mrs. Clinton to maintain. And actually, there was anecdotal evidence to that all along.
Yeah,
I know people talked about yard signs. I know you can't put a lot of stock in that, but there was some truth in that.
Yeah, I rarely saw Hillary Clinton yard sign.
The enthusiasm factor just wasn't there. Trump would go out and have a mob of a rally. 10,000 people show up.
Yeah.
And that was routine for him.
And Clinton, when she was in Des Moines last, I was there, had maybe 400, maybe.
When you see things like that, there's an intangible there with respect to enthusiasm, which makes all the difference on election day.
And we're starting to run out of time, so we probably have to pick up on this a little bit later, or next segment. But I wanted to mention one area where Trump gained voters, and that was among uneducated. I don't want to say uneducated totally, but those without a college education and those who had some college or an associate's degree, he actually won those groups. And these are blue collar workers, basically. That's what we're looking at here. And that used to be part of the Democrats' bread and butter as well. And he had some huge gains with those groups.
He really did.
Which is why he won the Rust Belt. So more on this next segment. We got a few more things to talk about, but it was definitely a surprising outcome for, I think, most
maybe
people.
Maybe even shocking outcome.
Shocking. I personally can't say I was disappointed to see Hillary Clinton lose.
No.
This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back in a moment.
Hi, this is Brian Myers of Myers & Associates. If you're involved in maintenance at a manufacturing plant, you know how costly it can be when a machine goes down. And if the reason that machine went down is because the electronic controls on it failed, it can really be problematic if those electronics are obsolete. Well, not to worry. We represent Providence Industrial Electronics Repair, and they can get your machine up and running in no time. They repair boards, drives, servo motors, light curtains, you name it. So if you need industrial electronics repaired at your plant, or if you have other industrial maintenance needs, give me a call at 515-490-2640. That's Myers & Associates, 515-490-2640. Myers & Associates, keeping your operations running.
Welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Travis Riswold of Modern Woodmen of America. Call Travis at 515-883-0029, and he can help you find the life insurance you need. President-elect Trump!
Oh, no.
The Trumpets!
Again.
Administration.
I still can't get used to that.
Oh, what? I was going to say, what went wrong? No.
Yeah,
because again, I want to make it very, very abundantly clear. We've been very hard on President-elect Trump for a year and a half now.
Oh yeah,
and I am not happy, or I'm not unhappy. Actually, I was quite elated to see Hillary Clinton lose. Hopefully, this will be the end of the Clinton family dynasty. Even though I just saw a news article that Chelsea is being groomed to run for Congress.
No. Oh. Please.
Stop now. But I don't frankly see her going beyond that if she even wins.
Well, I do agree, Shane. I did not vote for Mr. Trump. And I have been very hard on him as well. Having said that, I have to say I'm thankful that Mrs. Clinton is not the president-elect.
Right. And there's some things, I'm hoping that he will follow through on some of the promises that he made. I think first of all, one of the first things he should do is appoint to replace Justice Scalia, one of the people on his list that he submitted.
Yeah, got a good appointment.
A good appointment. A good appointment in the Supreme
absolutely.
Court. And be willing to, well, he shouldn't actually have that much of a fight, even though I think it requires 60 votes to confirm.
Well, that's assuming you don't use the nuclear option, which Harry right. Reid was quite willing to do.
Well, Democrats didn't seem to mind using it. So
yep, they used it twice.
So they, you know, hey, you started the precedent.
And real quickly, maybe we can develop this later when we talk about the other races, but I want to say kudos to Senator Grassley. Because I said months ago that the Republicans would fold and that they would not hold out on the Supreme Court appointment, and they did.
Yeah.
And so, as it turns out, that was a crucial thing.
Yeah.
So kudos to Senator Charles Grassley.
Definitely. Wrapping up kind of the presidential race, four out of five evangelicals, white evangelicals, they like to pull. Apparently, we don't want to pull out black evangelicals. They always have to show white evangelicals. 81% back Trump, or four out of five evangelicals back Trump, while 16% back Clinton.
I don't understand the 16%.
No, I don't either. I think there's got to be a larger percentage that backed third party candidates than what they're.
I'm curious to know also how they define evangelical. That's always
always self described. Yeah. It's always self described. So mm-hmm. that's. So I think those polling numbers are probably different if you actually drill down on what evangelical really is.
Mm-hmm.
56% of those who attend religious service weekly back Donald Trump. He also led amongst Protestant other Christians, 58% to 39%. He received 1% more than Romney and 4% more than McCain in with that group. He also won among Catholics, 52% to 45%. That's significant because President Obama won Catholics the last two election cycles. And what made the difference? Undecideds broke for Trump. You look at when people made the decision. Those who decided before September backed Hillary Clinton. Those who decided September or later went toward Trump. So. Especially in October, in that last week in particular, in October, 51% chose Trump compared to 38% picking her. And then last week, 50% picked Trump and 37% chose her.
And I'm sure much will be made by the left about the Comey effect.
Right, right.
Yep. One big time October surprise.
And of course, we got people protesting. And, you know, I don't know, Brian, you made your point when we were off the air about his conciliatory message about coming together.
Well, yeah. He did say the right things. We need to unite. And he said it's time. And that's great. Okay. He's right. Nobody's going to disagree with that as far as the nation is concerned. I just want to say that this would have been a lot easier had he not gotten into the gutter so many times over the last year. I mean, it was needlessly offensive.
Yeah.
At so many levels, so much of the campaign.
I think we would have seen the protesting that's going on.
You might.
Anyway, we're going to talk a little bit more about
easier,
that.
But it would have been easier, okay?
Yeah. We're going to talk a little bit more about that third segment. So we had other races going on. Republicans obviously kept their majority, but it's a slimmer majority. They lost two seats. U.S. Senator Mark Kirk of Illinois lost, which everybody kind of expected him to lose based on some things he did and just the fact that it's Illinois. U.S. Senator Kelly Ayotte, also of New Hampshire, lost her seat as well. In the House, Republicans lost six seats but still hold a 238 to 193 majority.
Which is a solid majority.
Still. And with even with the Senate, 52 to 48, that's nothing to sneeze at. Iowa sends all of our incumbents back. So Chuck Grassley obviously cleaned Mrs. Judge's clock, which I was very happy to see. She won
too.
One county in Iowa.
Wow.
The People's Republic of Johnson County.
Exactly.
Otherwise, he won every other county, including Polk, including Lynn, including Blackhawk County. And these are counties that Hillary Clinton won in. Maybe we could say that Donald Trump, maybe Grassley had the coattails and Donald Trump, it was hanging on his coattails. I don't know.
I would say, believe it or not, because I know you and I early on said, no way does Donald Trump have coattails, but I'd say at least nationally he did.
Grassley would have won Iowa even if Hillary Clinton won.
Yeah.
Because he's won when President Obama's won. So,
however, that does not explain what happened out in Council Bluffs.
Yes. Well, I wanted to get back to the congressional races. We obviously everybody expected Dave Loebsack to win in Iowa's second congressional district. Very happy to see Rod Blum win re-election.
Yep.
This was not as close as people thought it would be. It was 51.4 to 48.6%. It was actually a wider margin than the first time he actually won. Monica Vernon just was not a good candidate to run against him. She won Blackhawk County and she won Linn County, but she didn't win either county by much. And apparently she just did not campaign well around the state either. So that was good to see. Congressman Young won re-election. He won every county in the 3rd District except Polk County, and he only lost Polk County by 245 votes.
Wow.
A Democrat can't only win Polk County by 245 votes and expect to win the district.
Well, it's my understanding that the Democrat Party was pretty hopeful early on about Maurer against Young.
And, I don't know why.
I don't know why either, but it was a smoke show before it was all over.
It was. He got toasted. Very happy to see. Maybe he'll move to the 1st District run against Blum since he likes to play musical congressional districts.
Yeah, that's
districts.
What he does. Maurer runs from one area to another.
Right.
Real quick, Shane, did you see David Young's acceptance speech?
No, I did not.
It was awesome.
Okay.
Get a chance. Go see that.
All right. Of course, Congressman King, to no surprise, won 4th Congressional District, and Kim Weaver only won Story County. But I think the most exciting news of the night was how Republicans flipped the Iowa Senate finally, and Senate Majority Leader Mike Gronstalling, I like to call him, Gronstall, lost to Dan Dawson, and he lost.
The voters handed him his pink slip.
Lost 54.1% to 45.9%, so Boom. It wasn't even that close. Goodbye. Bye-bye.
Good. Yeah.
So 6 incumbents. Lost.
I don't know that you can overemphasize how big a loss that was to see Gronsdahl handed his walking papers.
So Brian Schoenjohn lost in Iowa, or Senate District 32. Steve Sodders lost in Iowa Senate District 36. Tom Courtney lost in Senate District 44. Chris Brace lost in Senate District 46. So, you know, that was good to see. And in the House, they gained 2 seats in the Iowa House, too. The only incumbent that lost, and there was just an open seat that was previously held by a Democrat that swung Republican. But the only incumbent that lost in the Iowa House was Patty Ruff in House District 56. So, you know, and she lost bad, 67% to 33%.
Ooh, that's ugly.
So I'd love to talk to some people up in that district to find out how in the world did an incumbent get beat up that bad. So, usually you see incumbents winning by those margins, not a challenger beating incumbent by that kind of a margin. So, you know, I've got list of my wish list for the Iowa legislature now that we have a Republican Senate, Republican House, and Republican governor. I can't read through all. You can read it at caffeinatedthoughts.com. But one of the very first things I want to make sure they do is take action to preserve religious liberty. We need a Religious Freedom Restoration Act. We need to revisit and change some language or add some language to the Iowa Civil Rights Act. To make it abundantly clear that right to conscience will be protected in our state. Because if somebody says, well, why is this an issue? Well, Gort's house. That's a great example of why we need protection like that.
And our pastors need protection.
Right.
Our facilities need
federal
protection.
Federal judge already made it clear that the state cannot
right.
interfere with the church. So that was good, but we need to codify that.
Yeah, and I tell you what, these stupid bathroom laws, they need to be shoved down somebody's throat.
Well, and that's one of the second thing is action to protect privacy. At I don't think this will entirely happen. Either strip gender identity from the Civil Rights Act, or at the very least, to make it clear that the state will not interfere with businesses enforcing their own dress codes. Also, no one should be compelled to allow biological men to use women's facilities and mm-hmm. vice versa. If businesses want to do that themselves, that's their business, and customers can decide to shop elsewhere if they're uncomfortable with that.
I think part of this is
schools
too. I think part of this is going to rest on what the new DOJ looks like.
Right, right. So schools shouldn't be compelled to allow, you know. So they need to address the common sense things. I'm not saying I want, you know, people who struggle with gender identity and homosexuals to be discriminated in employment matters or housing or education. Unless it's a Christian ministry saying we can't allow you because that would go against. But just in general, no, I don't want to see – these people need to be able to make a living, and they need some basic protections that way.
Just like anybody else.
Just like anybody else, right. So anyway, we need to do that. Action, expand educational liberty. Let's get education savings accounts done.
Absolutely.
Let's repeal –
absolutely.
Let's try to – devolve power back to local school districts.
Wouldn't that be a novel idea?
Protect life. Let's decertify Planned Parenthood as a Medicaid provider. Let's defund all abortion providers from any kind of taxpayer funding. Pass a webcam abortion ban and tell the Iowa Supreme Court to stick it, you know?
I like both of those.
Yeah. Pass a late-term abortion ban. There's a parental notification, a waiting period, ultrasound bills. We could pass a personhood trigger language to go into effect if and when Roe v. Wade is struck down, or there's a, you know, so obviously personhood couldn't be enforced right now with Roe v. Wade, but you can add language that could go into effect in case it does get struck down. Anyway, there's, you know, economic freedom. Let's improve our business climate in the state. Right now, our neighbors have better tax structures for businesses than we do. There's a lot of things we can get done now.
Yeah, but that's a pretty good list you just rattled off, buddy.
And you can read more, caffeinatedthoughts.com. Anyway, this is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back in a moment. Stay tuned.
Hi, this is Brian Myers. When I needed a better life insurance plan, I found it with Travis Risvold of Modern Woodmen of America. When I first met Travis, he wasn't like some other life insurance agents that can be pushy and try to get you to buy something. Travis just made himself available to me. That was it. He told me to let him know if and when I needed anything, and he stayed in touch. When the day came and I did need to make some changes with my life insurance, Travis met with me and walked me through several options so I could make an informed decision. Ultimately, it was the best decision for my situation. So if you need a better or the best life insurance plan for you, call my friend Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. His number is 515-883-0029. Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. He can help you find the life insurance you need. Call him at 515-883-0029.
Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
And welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Crosswalk Ministries with Scott Owen, who offers biblical counseling and conciliation. Give them a call at 515-292-7141 or go to crosswalkcounseling.org.
Well, before we get into our news segment, we wanted to finish up our discussion of the election with regard to President-elect Trump's victory speech, in which he spoke of the need to unite. And we just had a couple of remarks we wanted to make in that regard. We've already talked about the fact that that's a tall order in some respects because Mr. Trump has been so offensive from time to time.
Right.
But one thing I do want to point out is while I think it's necessary that he strikes a new tone in that regard, absolutely necessary.
He needs to remember he's now the president and he needs to act presidential.
And he can't just act like such a bozo.
No more tweeting at 3 a.m.
But I do want to say this. We don't need to unite with respect to policy. And I know it may sound cynical, but I've been watching this stuff for 40-some years. Yeah, something in the neighborhood of 40 years. And I know what these guys mean. When you see, for example, President Obama calling for unity, somewhere in the middle of that call is a man saying, "You're not really going to mess with my legacy, are you?" And he wants unity. He wants our new president to take a big step towards him and not really do some of the things that President-elect Trump said he was going to do on the campaign trail. Number one is Obamacare.
Right.
So when they want unity, what they're really saying in many respects is, you're not really going to dismantle Obamacare, are you? You're not really going to enforce immigration law, are you? You're not really going to completely overhaul the Department of Justice, are you? So I want to make it plain. I'm all for unity. I'm all for Donald Trump not to act like a bozo anymore.
Yep. I'm thinking President Obama probably should issue Hillary Clinton a pardon.
Well,
she might be in trouble.
I agree. I agree. Maybe. That might be the best thing to do for the nation.
Right.
It really might be.
People are saying Hillary for prison. I'm not sure that's a good thing.
I don't think so either.
Again, I don't think anybody should be above the law, but I think we need to kind of move past this and just let her retire into obscurity.
So if I had two things I could tell President-elect Trump right now, it'd be number one, don't be an offensive bozo anymore. And number two, start listening to some of your advisors like Sam Clovis. And if you're thinking about Governor Bobby Jindal to be on your cabinet, listen to that guy. He's a sharp guy. He knows policy. He knows people.
Being batted around as possible Secretary of Health and Human Services, which I think would be an incredibly wise choice on Trump's part. So
anyway.
But we got protests going on.
Oh, yes.
Not my president!
Okay,
I've heard that before. And other things.
Well, but before we get into protests, let's talk a little bit about this email that went out from Matt Maloney. Holy cow. Matt Maloney is the CEO of Grubhub, and he sent the following company-wide email. Subject, so that happened. What's next? And I'm going to just read a portion of the email, but he says, "I'm still trying to reconcile my own worldview with the overwhelming message that was delivered last night. Clearly, there are a lot of people angry and scared as the antithesis of every modern presidential candidate won and will be our next president." And he talks about the demeaning, insulting, ridiculing minorities, immigrants, and so on and so forth that worked for Mr. Trump. I don't know that it worked for Mr. Trump.
That's not won him the election.
It worked in spite of that,
right.
I think, actually. But he talks about that. He talks about how in his company, they'd worked for a lot of years cultivating a particular type of culture, and that he absolutely rejects the nationalist, anti-immigrant, and hateful politics of Donald Trump. Anyway, he gets to the last paragraph. He says this, "If you do not agree with this statement, then please reply to this email with your resignation, because you have no place here. We do not tolerate hateful attitudes on our team. I want to repeat what Hillary said this morning, that the new administration deserves our open minds and a chance to lead, but never stop believing that the fight for what's right is worth it. Stay strong, Matt." Now, eventually, he issued this statement, quote, "I want to clarify that I did not ask for anyone to resign if they voted for Trump. I would never make such a demand. To the contrary, the message of the email is that we do not tolerate discriminatory activity or hateful commentary in the workplace, and that we will stand up for our employees." Well, I think you are sending a double message there,
right,
Matt?
And if anybody does get fired, all they have to do is Exhibit A, this email.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he opened himself up. Anyway, now we got protests that, you know, people are saying, I don't know if it's true or not. I wouldn't be shocked. George Soros is paying for these.
He was always good about putting together rent-a-mobs.
Right.
But here we go. Washington Post. Demonstrations against the election of Donald Trump as president continued around the country early Friday.
Basically, they're protesting our democratic process.
Taking a decidedly violent turn in Portland, Oregon, where police made several arrests after deeming the protests had turned into a riot, punishable as a Class C felony in that state. We reject the president-elect, many of the demonstrators chanted as they marched through the streets. Elsewhere, thousands of protesters surrounded Trump's buildings in New York and Chicago, clashing with supporters of the president-elect in some areas. The protests earned recriminations from Trump, who met with President Obama at the White House Thursday morning. Well, you know, I don't mind people protesting. I don't mind what the Tea Party did, you know, early in 2009. Well, but that was a huge difference from what we're seeing on TV.
They actually were protesting against something Obama actually did.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody, because, you know, I remember all those protests after Obama won, don't you?
What protests?
Right.
And the rioting in the streets.
It didn't happen. Yeah, were we disappointed? Yes, but it's like we're going to... If we need to respond to something he actually does, fine. But this, we reject the president-elect. You had your chance on. You lost. I'm sorry. That's just how it works. Sometimes you win some. Sometimes you lose.
One of the most disgusting things that I saw online was this poor guy that was getting the snot beat out of him by several black people who said this guy voted for Donald Trump. And that was the reason that they mugged him, and I think they stole his car. I mean, I know it's just maybe an isolated incident.
Yeah,
it still makes my blood boil.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
Okay, next up from Politico, Clinton aides blame loss on everything but themselves. On a call with surrogates Thursday afternoon, top advisors John Podesta and Jennifer Palmieri pinned blame for Hillary Clinton's loss on a host of uncontrollable headwinds that ultimately felled a well-run campaign that executed a sensible strategy and a soldier of a candidate who appealed to the broadest coalition of voters in the country. That last line, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Mrs. Clinton appealed to the broadest coalition of voters in the country? What does that mean?
Here's why Mrs. Clinton lost. Because it was Mrs. Clinton.
Yep.
Amen to that.
And you can't nominate somebody who's under federal investigation and expect that they're going to just walk away with this thing. And the only reason they thought they were going to walk away with things is because they were running against Donald Trump. I would be embarrassed. It's like that just shows you how cruddy of a candidate you were when you lost to Donald Trump.
That's exactly right. And think about it. I mean, going clear back, I mean, for months, the polls showed, even amongst her supporters, she was like in the mid-60s about people who thought she was untrustworthy. They all knew she was a liar.
Next time, nominate a better candidate.
Absolutely. Put me on the cover of the Rolling Stone, Uptown, down
home, American kids. She is a good friend, but I just don't know how to fix this conflict. I wonder if it's time to just walk away. I'm Scott Owen with Crosswalk Ministries of Central Iowa, and it's time to pause for peace. In today's disposable society, it sometimes doesn't seem worth the effort to risk confronting a friend. After all, they will only get defensive, and that would ruin the friendship anyway. To avoid losing a friend or making a conflict worse, considering using the peacemaker pause. The A of pause reminds us to affirm the relationship. Use your energy to attack the problem, but affirm the relationship. The Bible says, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as it fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear." If you are at a walk-away point in a friendship, call 515-635-5465 to set up a free consultation, or visit our website at crosswalkcounseling.org. Again, that number is 515-635-5465.
Hey, do you want to take advantage of the marketing potential within social media for your company or organization, but you're not so sure how? Let me help. My company, 415 Communications, is a social media consulting firm that works with groups like yours. Go to 415communications.com or give me a call at 515-321-5077.
And now. Did I say now?
Now.
And now, we've come to Chris Roloff's favorite part of the show. We are about to share a story that is truly unbelievable. Yet, you know it must be true because...
You can't make this stuff up.
All right, we can give our beloved producer, Ron Carlson, all the credit for this.
Oh, no.
This is from Truth About Cars. What kind of a person reads regularly a website called Truth About Cars?
People like Ron.
You're curious about the state of the industry and would like to know more.
Okay.
I can think of worse things to read.
I understand now. All right, here's the byline. Pants, once again, lead to heartbreak.
When do pants normally lead to heartbreak?
Oh, my goodness.
I find pants are normally a necessity.
Especially in the midst of winter.
Yeah.
Don't do what this man did. According to the Burlington Free Press, a tractor-trailer driver who rolled his rig in Vermont Wednesday was in the process of changing his pants at the time of the accident. I do that all the time driving down the highway in my 18-wheeler. Change my pants.
I was in Army convoy, and I actually switched places with somebody. I was driving, or he was driving, and he needed, it's like, you need to take my spot. We were driving a deuce and a half truck, towing a water buffalo, a huge water tank. And there's this thing, he pulled the choke up. It was kind of like, they called it it's kind of like a cruise, these things don't have cruise control. It was kind of like a cruise control for, it kept the vehicle running. So he went up, I went under, and we switched places going down I-95 in Michigan. I would not recommend.
I'm really glad nobody died that day.
Right.
All right. Back to Vermont. The rig, driven by 62-year-old Alan Johnson Sr. of Meriden, Connecticut, rolled off the I-89 near Williston, Vermont at around 9:25 a.m. Wednesday. Johnson blew a...
He blew a .209 during a roadside sobriety test.
A little bit drunk, eh?
Five times past the legal limit for commercial drivers.
Obviously, he was not able to make the best decisions.
The investigation also revealed that while Johnson was traveling north on the interstate at 63 miles an hour in a full-size tractor-trailer unit, he stood up from his driver's seat and was attempting to change his pants in the front cab, the Vermont State Police said in a statement. Johnson was standing up vertically. Well, now, wait a minute. How do you not stand up vertically? Okay, yes. Whatever. Standing up vertically between the two front cab seats while his truck was in motion. Boozing and cruising doesn't mix. But switching your ensemble while behind the wheel adds a whole nother level of danger.
Oh, I would agree. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
How do you blow a .209? How do you do that?
Gosh.
I mean.
Well.
You drink a lot of whiskey.
Yeah. Definitely hard liquor. Because I think you'd be get too full too fast to drink that much beer to get there.
Well, here's the thing: if he did drink that much beer and got there, that's why he was changing his pants.
Yeah. Seriously, Coach, well, I need to put my stretchy pants on.
Oh no, that's not what I mean. I mean he soaked them pants, okay? So he had to change them.
Yeah, okay.
That's exactly it. If he tied on that much of an alcohol content due to beer, that's precisely why he was changing his pants.
And with that note, thanks for listening, everybody. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Check out CaffeinatedThoughts.com. We'll see you next week.
Take care, everybody.